Tonight is Wednesday night, November 6th. This is the women's Mishnah Gemara share. We're in the middle of Sugyot on Masechet Brachot, and we're in the middle of the Sugya of Mitzvot Tzrichot Kavana.
Okay, Rabotai. We are in the midst of the Sugya of Mitzvot Tzrichot Kavana, and we're going to see a couple of more sources tonight, and then try to see whether or not this requirement, should it be obligatory? Is it the Oraita or the Rabbanan? And then try to see what the Psak Halacha is, a variety of Rishonim, until the Shulchan Aruch itself, whether or not Mitzvot Tzrichot or Ein Tzrichot Kavana. So I'd like to pick up with a source in which Tosfos has an interesting observation based on a comment of the Gemara. So it's on page 1. This is Masechet Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. And the, about a third of the way down, a quarter of the way down, you have the Mishnah in Masechet Sukkot. Now, initially, the mitzvah of lulav was observed on the first day of Sukkot, even if it was on Shabbos. And the reason why we don't do it on Shabbos today is a gzeira authored by Rabbah, who is a couple of hundred years after the time of the Mishnah. So in the Mishnah, they always assumed, and there is no reason not to assume, because the mitzvah of lulav has nothing in it that is counteracted by the observance of Shabbat. Not at all. You pick up a piece of wood. That's all. So if the piece of wood would just be an ordinary piece of wood, it's muktzah. But since you bought this before Yom Tov and paid through your nose, obviously you were aware of, you designated this for use. And therefore it's not by definition muktzah. So there's no reason why you cannot pick it up on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. The problem they would face is carrying. So they came up with a very unusual system, both in the Beit HaMikdash and in local Batei Knesset.
Is it the same issue for Megillah?
No, in Megillah. Right. So today, after the Gzeira of Rabbah, he legislated three things, no more: Megillah, Shofar, and Lulav. That's what he legislated. No more Lulav, Shofar, and Megillah should they come out on Shabbos. He was afraid that people would not buy into this system and carry it on Shabbos. But before his Gzeira, the Mishnah says, Yom Tov Shel Chag Shecholios B'Shabbos, Kol Ha'om Molichin Et Lulaveyem LeBeit HaKnesset. Everybody brings their lulav to the Beit Knesset on Friday. Limacharat, the next day, Mashkimin Uba'in Kol Echad VeEchad Makir Et Shelo Vinoth Lo. He tries to recognize his lulav. Now don't forget, nobody there had a fancy esrog box or a fancy lulav holders with, you know, knitted and crocheted everything. You know, they didn't have that. Right, so everybody's lulav must have been put in a certain specific location where he would be able to recognize it. Now, when Am Yisrael in the Beit HaMikdash are obligated to observe lulav all 7 days, not just the first day. In Eretz Yisrael, the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and in Chutz Laaretz, the obligation of lulav is only the first day of Yom Tov. The rest of Yom Tov is no obligation. In the Beit HaMikdash, there is a chiyuv to take lulav, perhaps even all of Yerushalayim. That's the Rambam's opinion. It's not only Mikdash, but it's Yerushalayim. You have to take a lulav. Now, in the Beit HaMikdash, they suspected it would be thousands of people coming to the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore they instructed everybody to say the following statement, which if I were around today, in the Beit HaKnesset HaGadol, where you have 1,200 people coming to Davin, the same, it's not a little shtibul, or you're going to say, I know exactly where I put my lulav. Anybody who picks up my lulav, I am makne itim today. Everybody. Because this, right, this halacha is only the first day, that it has to be absolutely yours. So here, the Mishnah doesn't tell us that they would actually do that, because they figured that in a little Beit Knesset, you'd be able to recognize which one's yours. But eventually the Chachamim came up with the precaution, maybe it's not yours. If you take someone else's, you do not fulfill the mitzvah on the first day. It has to be yours. Can't be borrowed. So they announced to everybody, please make the following declaration. If anyone has my lulav and etrog, I am makne it to you, kinyan gamur, as of today. So then, it's automatically yours. Mnei she'amru chachamim, ein adam yotzei chovato biyom tov rishon belulavo shel chavero. On the first day of Yom Tov, you cannot fulfill your obligation with someone else's. Because the phrase lachem is precedes the word bayom harishon. It says ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon. So the drash that is derived from two words, either from ulekachtem or lachem, is limited only to bayom harishon. But something that is derived from after the word Bayom HaRishon, such as pre-eight Hadar, that it has to be a nice one, and not with any physical defects, Tosfos, the Balei Tosfos are of the opinion, that applies all 7 days of Yom Tov. Because that drash is not followed by the word Bayom HaRishon. So their obligation applies all 7 days. In the Beit HaMikdash, on a D'oraita level, and for us, on a D'Rabbanan level. We take Lulav all 7 days as a Zecher L'Mikdash, to commemorate the practice that existed in the Beit HaMikdash. U'sha'ar Yemot HaChag, Adam Yotzei Yechovato B'Lulavo Shel Chavero. Fine. Comes along Rabbi Yossi, and he adds the following. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag Shechol Liot B'Shabbat, first day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, V'Shochach, and he forgot that it was Shabbos, V'Hotzi Et HaLulav L'Rishut HaRabim. Good. So, what? How did he violate the Shabbat?
Carrying.
Good. And what type of a is it B'mezid?
No.
No. It's Shogeg. Why is it Shogeg? Because what did he forget?
That it was
Shabbos. He forgot that it was Shabbos. He knew that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, but he forgot that it was Shabbos in his great haste to fulfill the mitzvah. So normally, what's the punishment for somebody who transgresses b'shogeg? What do you have to do? Bring a korban chatas. Bring a korban chatas. Says Rabbi Yossi, patur. He does not have to bring a korban chatas. Why? Mipnei shahotzi'o birishut. Now, I know you're going to fall into my trap. Please translate the phrase hotzi'o birishut. Please just do me a favor. Fall into
it.
He took it out with permission. So what question are you going to ask?
Well, permission
for what? Who gave you permission to carry the lulav on a Shabbos? We don't see over should. So therefore we have to read Rashi, who tells us what exactly this phrase means. On the left hand side, I bracketed the Rashi. Shehotzi o birishut. Birishut mitzvah shahayat tarud b'mitzvah. He had the license to pick it up and he lost his focus. because he picks it up and he has no idea how to fulfill the mitzvah of what? Of Luv and Esra. So where is he going with his lulav? He's going to a chacham to please teach him. Do the aravos go on this side? The aravos go on that side. Which way do I hold the etrog? He's going to learn. So he is tarud u'michashev ve'asuk u'mimaher la'asota. And he's in a rush to fulfill the mitzvah. That's what people should be. In a rush to fulfill a mitzvah. U'mitoch kach ta'a. And as a result, he made a mistake. V'shachach shehu shabbat. V'kasava Rabbi Yossi. Ta'a bidvar mitzvah. V'shodad bidvar karet. Patur mikorban. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that somebody who is in great haste to fulfill a mitzvah and made a mistake and transgressed something for which there is karet, had it been done bemezid, that person is exempt from a karban chatas.
Goes for all? Does not just for this mitzvah?
Every single time that you violated a prohibition of karet in your great haste to perform a mitzvah, for that great haste violation, you don't have to bring a karban chatas. And in fact, a karban chatas is only brought if bemezid there had been karet or the death penalty. But take just not eating kosher meat. I forgot that you're not allowed to eat kosher meat. I forgot.
Non-kosher meat.
I forgot you're not allowed to eat non-kosher meat. And I ate it b'shogeg, there's no karban chatas. Because had I eaten trefa or nevela meat b'mezid, all you do is get lashes. You don't have a chi of karet. Korban chatat in the Beit HaMikdash is only for transgressions b'shogeg, upon which there is a penalty of death had it been done b'mezid. Carrying on Shabbos, there is a penalty of b'mezid, of karet. If it was done by real mezid with two witnesses who warned you, then you don't have to worry about not bringing a korban chatas because you're going to be stoned. So you don't have to worry about bringing a chatas. There's no.
If you're over, an
avera,
because you want to do a mitzvah, there's connection here, right?
Yeah, it's like a mitzvah haba. That's what you're thinking of. Good. So it is. This is a mitzvah haba b'aveira. But mitzvah haba b'aveira, we only focus on, did you fulfill the mitzvah or not?
Not the punishment.
No, the mitzvah.
Okay.
I stole an esrog. Okay? So I violated an iser gzela. But then did I fulfill the mitzvah when I picked it up? That's the sugya of mitzvah b'aveira. It doesn't concern itself with the aveira that you did. It just wants to know, have you fulfilled the mitzvah or have you forfeited? You're such an idiot that not only did they violate the aveira, they didn't get credit for the kiyum mitzvah. Now it's the sugya of mitzvah b'aveira. But this issue here is, what punishment is there for violating the Shabbat? Answer is, there is none. There is none. You still have to do tshuva. It's not that it's not a maisa avera. It is a maisa avera. But there is a ptur from korban according to Rabbi Yossi. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yossi. And they say, ma pitom. Who told you to be in such great haste? Pick up the lulav in your house. Learn before Yontif how to fulfill the mitzvah. That's because everybody explained, it's not that they're running to do it in shul. They're running to a chacham to learn how to fulfill the mitzvah. They come running with the shofar. Can you teach me how to blow? I don't know how to blow shofar. How am I going to be mekayim the mitzvah? Fine. That's what Rashi says. Now, go down to the bottom of the page, the last line. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi said, Amar Abaye. So Abaye comments, next page, Lo Shanu Ela Shelo Yatzabo. The only time that Rabbi Yossi said his halacha, that if you are in great haste to fulfill a mitzvah, and you forgot that it was Shabbos, that you don't have to bring a korban chatas, that's if you have not yet fulfilled the mitzvah. So I pick up my lulav, I didn't make a bracha yet, I didn't do anything, and now I realized, oh my God, I was mechal Shabbos. But if when I picked it up and carried it outside, I had already fulfilled my mitzvah, that, Rabbi Yossi says, is not Torah b'dvar mitzvah. That's not Torah b'dvar mitzvah. That's not making a mitzvah. So let me give you an illustration. Hold on one sec. That's the point that you made. Yes. Hold on. I didn't forget. Hold on. But let me just give you an illustration why somebody would be picking up. There is a Gemara please go back to page number 1. Six lines from the bottom of the page. Rabbi Eliezer Bar Tzadok Omer, 5 lines from the bottom of the page. Kach haya min hagan shel anshe Yerushalayim. This was the practice of the people living in Yerushalayim. Adam yotze mi beito lulavo biyado. A person's just walking outside, he's got his lulav with him. Holeich lebeit hakneset lulavo biyado. Kore kriyashma umitpalel lulavo biyado. Kore batorah, if you are called up to read from the Torah, or nose et kapav, you're a kohen granting us a bracha. Manicho agabi karka, you put it down. You don't hold a lulav and esrog when you're in the middle of berchat kohanim, or if you're reading the Torah. Holech levaker cholim, if you go visit somebody in this who's sick. Ulinachem avelim, if you go to pay a shiva visit on the first day of Yontav. Lulavo biyado, the lulav is in your hand. So, let's assume the guy was in shul, he davened already, he fulfilled the mitzvah of lulav, he did the nanum, said halal and everything. Now he's going to visit somebody in the hospital. And now he carries it on Shabbos. Said Abaye, that's not a mitzvah any longer. It is a mitzvah to do so. They had a nice practice of always carrying the lulav. But the basic core mitzvah, he already fulfilled. So if a guy forgot that it was Shabbos, and he's going to the hospital to visit somebody after he already fulfilled the mitzvah, then Rabbi Yossi does not give him an exemption from bringing a korban chatas. He forgot that it was Shabbos, and he brings a korban chatas. Don't get hysterical about the fact that it says Linachem Avelim on the first day of Sukkot. It's Shabbos and Yontif. There's a whole discussion in Rishonim whether or not this word should be taken seriously. Some Rishonim say yes. You're allowed to be Menachem Avel, even though he's not sitting Shiva any longer. That he can't be. Impossible. Because no matter what day of the Shiva started, Yontiv is going to terminate it. But he will be in the middle of the Shloshim then. And you're allowed to be Menachem Avel the entire Shloshim. It's not our practice to do so, but it is possible. So under those circumstances, so they interpret the phrase literally, Linachem Avelim, because somebody is in the middle of the Shloshim. Alternatively, some Rishonim say, it's like a practice which you'll see often if somebody had a very abbreviated Shiva, Yontif came, And then, during the rest of the days, the next day of Yontif, first day of Yontif, you're going to go visit the person anyhow, because you just want to say something to them. You want to comfort them. So even though you may not, you will not conclude with the phrase, Hamakam Yenakayim, I remember when Yossi Lampert passed away, and the burial was Erev Sukkos, and Esther had like a couple of hours, an hour or two of Shiva. Tons of people came, myself included. I made a Shiva call, but I also came either the first day of Sukkos or the second day of Sukkos, because, you know, people didn't want her to be alone, and, you know, you don't know what to say in any event. But so some Rishonim say that's what it really means, the Nachem Avelim. There is no formal Nichum Avelim, but they know that people would come visit them anyhow when they happen to be in the Shloshim. So now, the rule of Abaye is that if you had already fulfilled the mitzvah, Rabbi Yossi's exemption does not apply. Alinda, so now bomb us with your question.
Well, once you pick up the lulav,
you're already Yossi the mitzvah.
It was done before you walked out of your house.
Asks the Gemara, as soon as you pick up your lulav to go out the door to bring it to this person to teach you, you already did the mitzvah. You already fulfilled the core mitzvah. Why? Because you picked it up. That's what the Torah says. Olatachtem lachem. So that's the Gemara asks. Amar Abaye. Now on the next page, lo shanu ela shelo yatzabo. This is only applicable if you have not yet been yotze. But if you had already discharged your core obligation, the exemption does not apply. Chilul Shabbos in great haste will trigger Korban Chatas.
But this has a question about that's
going to be Tosis's comment. Asks the Gemara. Hamida agbe nafak be. Hamida agbe mazala hakbia. He lifted it. As soon as he picked it up, nafak be. He discharged his obligation. So how was it ever possible for Rabbi Yossi to apply his halacha? How could he ever apply his halacha? As soon as he gets to the front door, he's already been yotzei the mitzvah because he picked it up. Yeah. Hold on, one second. Just a minute. Amar Abaye kishahafcho. He turned the esrog upside down. So now he's not going to be yotzei the mitzvah. Why is he not going to be yotzei the mitzvah? Because you only fulfill the mitzvah if it's derech gedilatan. If you hold them in the manner in which they normally grow.
The problem with that is we're talking about
Netilas Lulav.
No, but Netilas means all four.
Means all four. You right.
What about the Arevos?
Okay, so that's not going to be Lichat Chila. We of course said Oshana some on the right, the Hadassim on the right. But if you didn't, you still yotzei the mitzvah. But if you turn over the esrog, you don't fulfill the mitzvah at all. Now, says Tosafot, related to our topic, on the top left-hand side, Amar Abaye kishahafcho. Now, I don't know if he turned it over being an airhead, or he turned it over because he knew that he doesn't want to be yotzei the mitzvah yet, because he wants to get it completely right. See, he's not a total amaretz. He knew that if I turn it over, I'm not yotzei the mitzvah. That much he did know. Says Tosafot. Since Abaye was compelled, itzterach, he was required, l'shanu yehachi, to answer that he turned it over, mashma, it appears, the svirule, the mitzvos, ein srichos kavana. Must be that mitzvos ain't srichos kavana. Why what must be ain't srichos kavana? Because if mitzvos srichos kavana, give me another reason why he has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah.
He didn't
because he didn't have any kavana. So whether he turned it over or not, he's still not going to fulfill the mitzvah until he gets where? To the his friend's house. So Tosfos says, since Abaye found it necessary to answer Kisha Hacho, that to justify the fact that when he carried the lulav and etrog out, he had not fulfilled the mitzvah, is only via Kisha Hacho, must be that what? Must be that mitzvah's answer is kavanah. Because if you held mitzvah srichas kavana, there would be another simple excuse why he would be exempt from the korban chatas, even though he carried in the street, because he has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah. And Rabbi Yossi's rule would still be in effect. Good. And in fact, there is a Gemara which tells us a couple of blot earlier, that this issue resolves another issue about Kisha Hafchal. When must a Birchat HaMitzvah be recited?
Before
you fulfill the mitzvah. So when you're eating a piece of matzah, it's very easy. You pick up the piece of matzah, alachilas matzah, alachilas mora. Don't bring me lighting candles, because that's an issue. That's a big issue that we shouldn't struggle with. Fine. But most mitzvot, before you start eating in the sukkah, you say, leshev basukkah. Almost all mitzvot. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? How can you make the bracha of al-metilas lulav before you picked it up? It has to be in your hand when you make the bracha. We don't make the al-mitzvah's tefillin, al-mitzvah's tefillin, when the tefillin are still in the bag. We don't say al-achilas matzah when it's still in the box. You have to have the mitzvah within close proximity to fulfill the mitzvah immediately after making the bracha. So asks Tosfos, what do you mean? As soon as you picked it up to make a bracha, you already discharged your responsibility. So how are you going to make a bracha? So Tosfos gives two answers. One, he quotes Abaye. Oh, he turned over the esrog. So if you hold it now with the esrog turned over, you are not going to be mekayem the mitzvah. That's what we do. That's why we turn it over and then say al netilas lulav and shechayanu the first day, and then turn it upside down, and now I'm ready to fulfill the mitzvah. That's why we do it. Second answer, says Tosfos, I believe mitzvah's tzrichas kavanah. Now, excuse me, I believe mitzvah's ain't tzrichas kavanah. So then, without turning, what happens? He had kavanah not to be yotzei the mitzvah.
Anti-kavanah.
And even if you hold mitzvah's ain't tzrichas kavanah, anti-kavana can't be challenged. Anti. So before I pick it up, I say, "Hinni muchana mizuman lo nikayeh mitzvahs lulav." I'm not going to fulfill the mitzvah. Now when I pick it up, I'm not going to be nikayeh the mitzvah, and I can still make the bracha. That little game Tosfos didn't play here. But that made that. But he did quote the turning over. It's for a different reason. Not to create a situation for Rabbi Yossi, but it's to enable us to engage in the appropriate time of the recitation of a Birchas HaMitzvah and write down the two words which indicate when a Birchas HaMitzvah is to be. Over la'asiyatan. The last second before you fulfill the mitzvah. The last second before you fulfill the mitzvah. So if you were a Sephardic woman, not worried about the Ashkenazim who said, you know what, when you make the bracha of the Hadlik National Shabbos, you've already been the kind of mitzvah. Sephardim don't believe that. What do you do? That's money to make believe that you didn't see it. Right. But that's Sephardim said, no, you make the bracha first. And when does Shabbos start? After you light them.
That's all. That's why it's foreign. And many Ashkenazic women on Yom Tov do that.
Yes, right.
They make the bracha first, and because there's no problem. Even if you accepted Yom Tov with the bracha, you're allowed to light a candle on Yom Tov.
Plus, we already hold that you can light candles and not accept Shabbos. We say, like, if you're going
to... You have to, but it's not. Correct.
So you could have in mind that...
I don't want to do it until... Exactly, you could have.
Yeah,
but I'm not saying to change it. Do not change the standard
customs
practice. Right, that you
customs
saw...
Customs.
Not only customs, it's... Yes. Minhag HaHoseinu is critical. That is for sure.
But that sounds like having kavanah.
What?
Saying I'm not going to be...
Yes, you'll say the mitzvah. Yes.
When I'm lighting. Because I'm
doing it. Yeah, that's good.
Sounds like you are having kavanah to not have kavanah. You know, like...
You're having kavanah not to be yotzei the mitzvah.
Right.
That's exactly what you're doing.
But you're having kavanah to do the mitzvah. Just not
correct, but not to not the, yeah. The effect of it.
Right. So
that is correct. That's a little different.
But if you light in the normal way and accept Shabbos, but you don't mentally think I'm now accepting Shabbos, you still accept the Shabbos.
That's correct. That is correct. If you don't have the Tanai, you automatically accept the Shabbos
right.
With the bracha. Correct.
But men say who live alone and who light.
Same thing.
I thought it was if a man lights, kind of his default if he's still not accepting Shabbos.
Well, if he lights all the time, it should be his default. That's his...
If he lights and then he's going to go to shul from it tomorrow.
Okay, so he should have that in mind every time. No, he should. Yeah. Good. So this Tosfos extracts from this Gemara that the halacha must be mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. Good. Let's move on. Page 3. There's an interesting comment of the Rabbeinu Yoina. Interesting comment of the Rabbeinu Yoina. What you see in front of you looks like a Gemara. But it's not the Gemara. This is the Rif.
Time and place.
The Rif is one of the earliest Rishonim in the early 12th century. Okay. Early 12th century. He was a candy man. That's why he's called Rabbi Yitzchak of Fez. He was the one who produced those dispenser candy. The Rif, Rabbi Yitzchak of Fez. And he was the candy man in his shul. And he was one of the earliest codifiers. The way he coded was not by writing a code, was by selecting the phrases in the Gemara where the Rebbe is a machloikis, which he felt was the correct way of following. That's how we know how the Rif held something. So when you look at the Rif in the back of it, this is always printed in the back of the Gemara. So when you look at it, that is the Rif. It looks like the Gemara. And it's the exact same text of the Gemara. But it's not the complete Gemara. Any sugya that, number one, has no practical relevance to. The Rif said, I'm not even going to comment. So there is no Rif on the laws of Tumin Tahara. There's no law Rif about the laws of the Beit HaMikdash. Nothing. Because he says, I'm here to give you a practical guide. Plus, any section of the Gemara that he didn't accept lahalacha, he just ignored completely. And I'll show you an example of that a little later. So, there is a sugya in Masechet Brachot on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. And the sugya itself is subject to enormous debate as to whether or not it's talking about mitzvot tzrichos kavana or not. The Rabbeinu Yona, who comments, he's on the outside of the page. Inside of the page, it says Rashi. See that on the right hand side?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's not Rashi. Rashi never wrote a commentary on the Rif. He never did. Some person lifted Rashi's comment from the Gemara and wrote it in on a manuscript of the Rif. To help you understand, just like Rashi helps you understand the Gemara, he can help you understand the Rif as well.
But only on the parts the Rif put in?
Yes, that's all he did. If the Rif didn't comment, The person who selected Rashi didn't bother. He didn't bother quoting Rashi's commentary on that particular Gemara. Then on the outside of the page, you have the big thing, which looks like Tosfot. It's not Tosfot in the back of the Gemara. It's, in this case, it's Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, the students of Rabbeinu Yonah. Other times it's the Rif, it's the Ran rather, who wrote, several Rishonim wrote commentaries on the Rif, and this time for Brachos it's Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. Yeah.
That's a very tiny column
on the left? No, that's the big one that looks like Tosfot.
Right.
On the, all the way on the left is a collection of Rishonim who said, made comments about this. And the most famous is not here. On this page, there is none of this, what I want to show you. If you go to page number 6 for a minute. On the bottom of the page, you see Milchemet Hashem. That's written by the Ramban. And his job is to defend the Rif against the critique of someone else. He started on the previous page, but he finished his critique. The Ramban is still there. His name is Hamaor HaKatan. So on most pages of the Rif, you will find a person called the Maor, the Little Light. And that's his name. His name was Rabbeinu Zrachia HaLevi. If you want to know, if you walk into a Beis Medrash, he's called the Baal HaMa'or. Mm-hmm. The Baal HaMa'or.
He's very young, right?
18 years old, and he wrote a critique of the Rif on all of Shas. It's incredible. 18 years old. And the Ramban felt it is his business to fight God's war. Milchemet Hashem. Chamera, right. But he wasn't fighting God's war, he was fighting the Rif's war. I'm going to defend, all the Baal HaMa'or does is critique the Rif. He passing the wrong way here, passing the wrong way there, he doesn't know what he's talking about. The Baal HaMa'or, Rabbeinu Zrachia HaLevi. The Ramban tries to restore and defend the Rif's opinion against the critique of the Baal HaMa'or. And the Ramban is incredibly sharp, incredibly analytical, sometimes very difficult to understand. And that's what's here in the back of the Gemara. Of every single standard Shas Gemara, you'll find this. In the Steinsaltz edition, you will not find it. In the Art Scroll edition, you will not find it. It's only in the regular, what we call the Vilna Shas. We'll talk about the Vilna Shas. They always have the Rif, some commentary on the side, the Baal HaMa'or and the Ramban. So, I bracket for you on page 3 a comment of the Baal HaMa'or, of the Rabbeinu Yonah. I bracket for you. Now, I'm going to read for you on the top of the page first a couple lines of the Rif and explain it the way the Rabbeinu Yonah thinks it has to be explained. There are most opinions don't agree with him. But for tonight's purposes, I have to use his interpretation. Here is the case. Excellent. We have here a card. Excellent.
T-A-B-C.
What? TABC. A TABC card. Yes, I got this one in my office. Yes. TABC card. Pshita, it is simple, says the Gemara. Heicha dinakit kasa dechamra biyodei. Somebody picked up a cup. With what in it? With wine. Chamra is wine. Vikasavar deshikrahu. What did I think was in this cup? Beer. What was in this cup? Beer. Okay. So what's happening now here is as follows. When I say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, I had kavana to say Shahakol Niyed Bivaro. That's the bracha on beer. Whether it's less filling or that's another machloikis. Right? Whether this was a Bud Light or a Miller Light, that's a machloikis for Shahakol Niyed. So far. After I got up to the word ha'olam, oh, it's not beer, it's wine. I'm going to say, Bayer Pi Agafen. So the Gemara says that in that case, you are Yotzei the Brach. Why are you Yotzei the Brach? Because even if you said Shachol Niyed Bivaro, you would still be, you would be Yotzei the Brach. Because Shachol covers everything. Everything. So now, what's the next lines of the Gemara? But if it was the reverse, I picked up a bottle of beer, thinking that it's beer. That just, I picked up a bottle of wine, thinking that it's wine. So what's going to run through my mind? I'm going to say, Bari Pi Agafen. After I said Hashem's name, I realized, oi, it's beer. And what did I say? It's now, I said, Shahakol Niyed Bivaro. But had I made a Borei Pri Agafen completely, I would not, a what? I would not satisfy my requirement. Because Borei Pri Agafen does not work on beer. Because it's not the fruit of the vine. So the Gemara's question is, which Kavanah is most important? Is it the Kavanah which you said at the end? Or is it the Kavanah when you mention God's name? Hashem Elokeinu. Which is more important? So the Rabbeinu Yonah believes that we are talking about an issue of Kavanah in this Gemara. Again, there are 20 other ways to explain this Gemara. But for right now, the question is, which Kavanah is essential? Must I have an appropriate Kavanah when I say God's name? Or must I have an appropriate Kavanah when I actually differentiate between one bracha and the next? Because Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, you say for every bracha. So what's really important? What I say after those words. And in this case, where I had a glass of wine in my hand, I thought I was going to say Borei Pri Agafen. And then before I said Borei Pri Agafen, after Melech Haolam, I realized it was beer. I said Shachol Niyed Bivaro, that's what you're supposed to say. But I did not have the appropriate Kavanah at the time when I mentioned God's name. So the Gemara deals with the issue, have you been Yotzei the Bracha or not? That's not my issue tonight. But according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, it is an issue of Kavanah. And he takes this opportunity to make a chidush about mitzvot tzrichot kavanah. Now, go to the bracketed on the page, in the fat columns, which looks like the Tosfot. Amnam, Rabbeinu Hai Gaon, Zichrono Levracha, Rav Hai Gaon said, the harbe min ha-meforshim, pasku, the mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana. The mitzvot don't have to have kavana. So in relating it back to the Gemara that I just shared with you, if you don't have to have kavana for a mitzvah, where else do you not have to have kavana, appropriate or not? In the bracha, who cares what I have in mind? Do you have to say, just make the darn bracha and that's it. Fine. Very nice. That's what he said. However, now I want you to go skip to the next line. He asks a question. I don't have time for the question. In the middle of the next line, it says, V'yesh Lomar. V'yesh Lomar. Everybody have the place. The afilu misha sover the mitzvos ain't srichos kavana, hani mili, that is only
bidavar shiyeshbo ma'aseh. It's only a mitzvah of what? Action. Shahama'aseh hu bimkom kavana. The action which you're engaging is what? Takes the place of kavana. Kigon mitilat lulav. If you pick up, if you do an action, you can ask yourself a legitimate question. Why does, you can ask yourself, why in the world are you picking up a lulav? What's the only reason? Because the Shmarka told you to do it. That's what mitzvot tzrichas kavana means. That I'm doing this action because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do. Sister Rabbeinu Yonah, I can't think of any mitzvah which I would have done had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not commanded it. I can't think of any mitzvah. I would not eat matzah, I would not eat in the sukkah, I would not sound the shofar, I wouldn't put on tefillin, you wouldn't light candles, or anybody do this unless there's a mitzvah to do so. So your action speaks volumes that you are aware of the fact that what? That what?
Hashem commanded.
The Amrinan, as the Gemara says there, midda abduhu nafak. As soon as you picked it up, you were yotze. V'chein kol kayotze v'ze. Agol b'mitzvot shetluya be'amira. But a mitzvah that is not fulfilled with a action, only through speaking bilvad, vadai tzricha kavan. Shaho amira believe. Saying something is just reading words. Unless you pay attention to those words, what do the words mean? Nothing. They're just empty sounds. Ukisheino mechavein be'amira ve'eino ose ma'aseh nimsa kimi shelo asar shum davar
be'amitzvos. That's like the shofar that we talked about.
What?
That's like listening to the shofar that we talked about.
According to him, shofar does not require kavan.
If you're the listener, it does.
No.
Why?
Okay, we could have said that.
It's passive.
Good. That's good. Okay, he might agree with that. He might, because you're not doing any action.
Right.
But I would agree with that, yes.
But that...
Yeah.
I think it works for many things, but I don't think it works for the lulav again, because you're saying, why else would I pick up the lulav?
Why else?
Okay, but now today, I know that, that's my deal on picking up a lulav. But today, I'm just picking up a lulav with the intent of taking it to the Rav to find out how to...
That's anti-kavanah.
No, but there are other reasons why you would pick up. I was just picking up my lulav to move it from here to there.
For what?
It's in the way.
Okay, so I would agree with you that even the Rabbeinu Yonah would say that's not the intention. What are we talking about? The maaseh, where you picked up the maaseh to fulfill the mitzvah, but you were an airhead at the time. When you decided to move it from here because it's in the way of the table, you had no intention to do an action of a mitzvah. I'll agree with you there. But if you picked it up without thinking, oh, Rabbi Shiloh, you told me to do this. Just picked it up. You knew there was a mitzvah to pick it up, so you picked it up. Not because you're picking it up out of your table. Then, he says, you don't need kavanah. But any mitzvah of Amira, words don't have any meaning unless you understand what the words mean. Yes, 100% it would. Correct. Yes. We'll talk about it. I'm going to get to a Ramban, challenging the Rambam. We'll get to it. I don't know if I'll get to it tonight, but certainly next week I'll get to it. That's for sure. But might even. So that's the Rabbeinu Yonah's opinion. I'll grant the Rav Haigon that he is correct, that for mitzvos of ma'aseh, ain't tzrichim kavanah. But any mitzvah of dibur requires kavanah. So when you read the Megillah, you have to have kavanah. When you recite Birchat HaMazon, you have to have kavanah. When you recite the Kiddush on Friday night, you have to have kamana. But any action mitzvot, says the Rabbeinu Yoina, you do not have to have kavana. That opinion we have not seen thus far. But I want you to know it. It's a famous opinion of the Rabbeinu Yoina, that mitzvos of dibur require kavana, because dibur, by definition, impacts or is required to have kavana halev. Otherwise, if you don't pay attention to what you're saying, the words are meaningless. Yeah.
But the example with the drinking from the cup,
mm-hmm.
so you thought it was wine, or whichever way it was,
right.
you thought it was wine, so you started to say the bracha b'rei priya gafen, and then as soon as you discovered it was beer, you changed.
Right.
So, to me, that is kavana.
Okay. It's not an exact analogy. It's just borrowing from the halacha tzrichot kavana. Where in the bracha must you have the kavana? Must you have the appropriate when you say Hashem Elokeinu? Here he did not. If he had beer and he was thinking that it was wine, so when he said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, he was about to say Baruch Priya Gafen. He knew what he was saying. He was being mechamen, but he had the wrong thought. And to acknowledge God's gift to you, to drink the wine, you have to have wine in your cup when you say God's name. Since you thought you had wine, and then you corrected it, and you realized you had beer, but when you said Hashem Elokeinu, you were about to say, you God are the Borei Pri HaGafen. But that doesn't apply here. You God are the Shachol Nien Bivaro in this case. So it's not exactly whether you are having kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah or not. It's a borrowed idea from mitzvot tzrichot kavana, which the Rabbeinu Yonah thinks is running through that sugya. I told you, I could explain it differently, but it's not relevant tonight. What's relevant is to see the Rabbeinu Yonah's interpretation, and therefore his comment here, you know what? We're talking about a bracha. So I will tell you. Bracha means dibur. Dibur requires kavana. Yes.
And even in tefillah, kavana is technically the most basic kavana is understanding the words.
Okay, so we can have a long discussion about there are three kavanot that are possible when you talk about kavana b'tefillah. One is what you said, knowing what you're saying. Two is to be aware of the fact that you were standing right in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a second kavanah. A third kavanah is to fulfill the mitzvah. There is a mitzvah, according to the Rambam, midda oraisa, to pray at least once a day. So when you daven shachris, you have in mind. The pasuk says, ula avdo b'chol avavchem, and the Rambam says, mipi hashmua, oral tradition has taught us, ula avdo b'chol, means prayer. So that's the most basic, what we have been talking about, mitzvah srichas kavana, that's what it's talking about. By tefillah, even if I were to say, mitzvos ain't srichas kavana, you still have to be aware of, number one, what the words mean, but as, if we will do that sugya, that's a different sugya, you only have to know only the first bracha, what the words mean. If you don't know what the words Rufa'inu Hashem V'nei Rafei are, you are still Yotzei the mitzvah of Shemon Esmei. If you don't know the first bracha, you're not Yotzei anything. But, there's a famous Rav Chaim, if you're not aware that you're standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, talking to Him directly, you need that kavana the entire Shemon Esrei. That you are aware that you are omed lifnei Hashem. And the Shulchan Aruch is cognizant of the fact that Judy's stare represented. Nobody can do that. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, even though I paskind, that if you don't have kavana, you got daven again, today we don't tell anybody to daven again. Because they're not going to have any more the second time. That's what the Mechabi says in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch he says that. Why bother? On Shabbos I'm doing the sugya about a chassan is pater from Kriyashma. Why is a chassan pater from Kriyashma?
because he can't he's concentrating on what's going to happen in bed after the chuppah, after the wedding. So the Mechaber says, today nobody has kavanah to any other besides the Shema. So might as well say the. So he, who cares? He's not going to have kavanah. I'm saying anyhow without kavanah. The Mechaber of Shulchan Aruch says this in the 1500s, knowing you can't be. But he just took a survey of what his people were doing. They were not being mechaver much. So they are aware of the difficulty of having appropriate kavanah. But people who learn and have some training, the expectations have to be higher. And to be aware that you are standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a difficult thing if you can do it once. If you know what it means and you're capable of starting the Shemoneh Esrei, you can imagine that throughout the entire Shemoneh Esrei. The problem is to train oneself to think it at the very beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. And to maintain that mode, you're talking to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, arguing with him, pleading with him, in your own words, in your own language, not necessarily the Hebraic text, whatever is on your mind. That's what the Bracha Shema Tefillah, the last Bracha, is all about. Giving us an opportunity to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu for whatever we think is necessary. The Rav always used to do a description about as we train a child to daven. What are you looking for? What are you begging your parents for? A bicycle? Ooh. Mentioned that in Shmoneh Esrei to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, please tell my parents to buy me that bike. That's the essence of prayer. That's the essence of prayer. The Bainsham's never going to turn down an 8-year-old kid. So you might as well get the money ready. He's going to get his bike. Yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now I want to proceed to see whether Kavanah, the requirement, assuming that there is a Kavanah of Mitzvot Tzrichah Kavanah, is it a d'oraita or only a mitzvah midrabanan? If it's only a mitzvah midrabanan, if it's only a kavana requirement midrabanan, then the question is addressed very simply. What happens if you forgot to have kavana? Are you yotze the mitzvah or not? Yes, of course. Is there a requirement to repeat it? Absolutely not. So it's an up and shut, very simple decision. But if we paskin that mitzvos tzrichos kavana is a din da'oraisa, then you're going to have to kvetch with a grub finger how to find a pasuk that indicates mitzvos tzrichos kavana. But the Ramban will find one. The Ramban, we're going to start with the Ramban next week. The Ramban says, I believe it's a da'oraisa. And there are other suggestions as well that it might be a d'oraisa. That's what we're headed next week. And once we know that it's a din d'oraisa, to see what the absolute psak of halacha is, and then to conclude with the Rambam, why the Rambam didn't just tell us mitzvos tzrichos kavana or mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. There are certain major issues where the Rambam decided to hedge his bet and give you illustrations which would lead you one way to the other, and of course the illustrations are contradictory. Instead of just saying, mitzvos tzrichos kavanah, end of discussion. It's one of the first questions I'm going to ask Mr. Rambam after 120. There's a long line of people. Long line of people. In fact, as you well know, the Rambam in his introduction to his world work, Mishneh Torah, writes, now that I've written my book, there's no necessity for any other books. He didn't. So certain scholars accuse, some Rishonim accuse him of saying you don't have to learn Gemara anymore. That's not what he had in mind. He meant that if you want to know halacha psuka, what the bottom line is, just look in his book. There happen to be more books printed on the Rambam than any other book in Jewish history, by far, more than on the Gemara. More than on the Shulchan Aruch, there are books written on the Rambam. On the Rambam. So he's got a lot of, he's got a long line up there of people who's got, people have to ask him questions. That was the Rambam.